Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I've told this story before, but it'll make my point. One snowy Sunday morning here in Minnesota, there'd been a blizzard. I drove to my good, biblical, Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, got there, and it was closed because of the blizzard. I turned my car around, headed back toward home, but here's a very liberal ELCA Lutheran Church that was open. The car's in the parking lot. So I go in, and the pastor gets in the pulpit. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then the preacher said, but what if you don't confess Jesus as Lord? And what if you don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Does that mean you won't be saved? And he said, not necessarily. And I felt like standing up and screaming, yes, necessarily. Today we're going to go through a crucial verse of the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I want to go through this word by word. Let's learn all that we can from this important verse. Let's pray. God, we want to pray for anyone who has tuned into this program who is not confessing Christ, not believing in Christ. Lord, bring that person to Christ today. And Lord, those of us who are Christians, help us be public. Help us confess with our lips to others that Jesus is Lord. Speak to us now, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First word, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if. The word if means salvation is conditional. If you confess Christ, you're saved. If you don't, you're not. You know, you hear a lot of preachers talk about the unconditional love of God. God loves everybody unconditionally. Well, this verse says, no, there's a condition. If. Ben Shapiro is a conservative Jewish commentator. He's brilliant. He was interviewing Bishop Barron of the Roman Catholic Church, and Ben says, Bishop Barron, I'm a practicing Jew. I try to live a good life. Some of my Christian friends are worried about me. They say I have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. What do you think? Bishop Barron, God forgive him, said, well, believing in Jesus is the privileged route, but, Ben, as long as you follow your conscience, you'll be saved. And I thought, ay, ay, ay. Nobody follows our conscience. We break our conscience, which is why we need Christ to die for our sins. I mean, when the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 says, Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Bishop Barron didn't say that. He hurt Ben Shapiro for eternity. The Catholic Church now has Pope Leo. I hope he's better than Pope Francis was. Pope Francis said to atheists, quote, just do good and I'll see you in heaven. Romans chapter 3 says nobody does good. We're sinners. We need Christ and his death on the cross. We need to believe in Christ to be saved. If means salvation is conditional. You need to believe in Christ. The heresy called universalism that everybody goes to heaven, whether you believe in Christ or not, it's in certain Catholic churches. I'm a Lutheran. It's in some Lutheran churches, Protestant churches. It's a heresy because the word if means salvation is conditional upon faith in Christ. Next word. If you confess with your lips. The word in the Greek there, you, is singular. It means salvation is personal. You singularly need to believe in Christ. My friend's 90-year-old father died. He was a Lutheran, went to church every Sunday. And my friend said, I never heard my dad pray once in my whole life. And I said, do you think your dad prayed privately? And he said, no. I had an older man in my church that I served, went to church, but then he got in trouble with the law because of drunk driving, so I tried to minister to him and help him with his faith, and I said to him, did you pray? Oh, I never pray. I said, why don't you pray? Well, I'm Finnish. Like people in Finland don't pray. You know, I don't think you can be saved if you're not praying, because it's got to be a personal thing. If you singular, personally. Next words, if you confess with your lips, that means salvation is public. Well, but Pastor, you know, I think religion is a personal, private thing, and I just like to keep my religion to myself, and I don't want to offend anybody, so I'll be a Christian, but I'll just be quiet about it. That's not the way it works. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. You need to publicly, I mean, do your family and friends know you're a Christian? There used to be a bumper sticker. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? I got a wonderful phone call yesterday. Maybe 30 years ago, there was a 13-year-old girl in my church by the name of Sue. Her whole family came regularly to my church. Sue went through my confirmation class. But then I heard Sue kind of wandered, left church, got messed up into drugs. I haven't talked to her for many years. She's probably in her 40s or 50s by now. And she called me out of the blue yesterday. Pastor Tom, do you remember me? Oh, I said, I sure do, Sue. How are you? Well, Pastor Tom, I just wanted to call and thank you for teaching me about Jesus. For years, I got messed up in drugs, but then I went through rehab, and I'm now walking with Jesus again. I'm telling people what Jesus has done for me. I'm giving them my testimony, but I just wanted to call and say thank you. And I said, thank you, Sue. You're making my day. But do you do that? Are you public about what Jesus has done for you? If you confess with your lips, next words, Jesus is Lord. The word Lord means two things, master and God. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying he's the master of my life, I'm his servant, and he's my God. Let's first talk about master. Jesus is Lord means he's the master of my life. So a couple comes into my office and they're engaged. They want me to do the wedding ceremony. And I said, well, you know, I noticed on the forms here, you two are living together at the same address. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a sin to have sex outside of marriage. Well, we believe in Jesus. I said, fornicators will not go to heaven according to 1 Corinthians 6. Well, we believe in Jesus as our Savior. And I said, yeah, but he's got to be your Lord. He's got to be master of your life. The boyfriend just starts squirming. He wants out of the office. And I was a little bolder than I normally am. I just said to him, you're not liking this, are you? And I tried to lovingly tell them, you know, if you live separate, repent of your sin, and then we can talk maybe about a marriage event, but you can't live in sin like this because Jesus is not your Lord. If he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior. The first meaning of the word Lord is he's your master. But the second meaning of the word Lord is God. When Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying Jesus is God. This is why I don't believe Jehovah's Witnesses or Unitarians or Christians. They deny that Jesus is God. Next words. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in. The word believe in means trust. I'm trusting my life to Christ. An atheist falls off a cliff. As he's going down, there's a branch sticking out of the rocks, and he clings to this branch, and he's holding on for dear life. Finally, his arms get so tired, he's about to drop to his death, and finally he looks up. Anybody up there? God, if you're up there, help! And a voice comes from heaven. My child, let go of the branch, and I will catch you. And the atheist says, anybody else up there? The word believe in means I let go of trying to save myself, and I trust Jesus and what he did on the cross to catch me, to be my salvation. That's what it means to believe in Christ. Somebody put it this way, faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. To be saved, you got to forsake your own supposed goodness, your own efforts. Forsaking all of that, I trust him and his death on the cross to save me. If you confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, and believe in, next words, your heart. That means salvation is just not a head thing. You need to believe in Christ in your heart. I had a college friend by the name of Sib. We were in the same Bible study together. Seemed to me he was a very sincere Christian. Well, after college, he leaves the faith for decades. And I would talk with him about the Lord. And finally, one day I said, do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? And he got quiet and he said, well, I suppose I know what happened, but I'm not a Christian. See, he believed in his head that Christ rose from the dead, but he didn't believe in his heart. Now, hallelujah, he's come back to Christ finally. But not do you believe in your head that Jesus rose from the dead. The devil knows that. Do you believe in your heart? Let me tell you a story about this picture here. There we go. Kind of a famous picture. A church worker was going door to door in the neighborhood, handing out postcards of this picture, inviting people to church. She rang a doorbell. A man answered, and can I give you this and invite you to church? We have Sunday school for your children, but we'd love to see you in church. He said, thank you, and he took the picture. He knew about Christianity, but he wasn't a churchgoer. He put it on the refrigerator because it was a pretty picture. That night at the dinner table, little girl, Daddy, who is that man? And why is he knocking at that door? And he didn't want to talk about it, so he kind of ignored her. Well, Daddy, who is that man, and why is he knocking at that door? Well, honey, that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's, and he tried to tame himself. Well, okay, Daddy, but why is he knocking at that door? Well, that's supposed to be the door of your heart, and he wants to come into your heart. Well, Daddy, why don't they let him in? And that question so bothered the father. They were in church the next Sunday. To be saved, you don't just believe in your head that Jesus is real. You believe in your heart. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, next words, that God raised him from the dead. That's the next point. You must believe Jesus rose to be saved. I attended a rather liberal Lutheran seminary years ago, and there was a good conservative biblical Lutheran professor called Professor Frost. And I remember one day in class, I think a more liberal student says, Professor Frost, do you have to believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Christ to be saved? And Dr. Frost said, son, you don't play with that one. Years ago, when I was still in the ELCA liberal branch of Lutheranism, I took my church out. We joined a more conservative branch of Lutheranism. But when I was still in the liberal ELCA, my liberal bishop brought in Marcus Borg, Episcopal scholar, to do the pastor's conference. Marcus Borg, he's dead now, but he did not believe Jesus rose from the dead. I wrote my bishop, "Bishop, he doesn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. Do we want to promote heresy? Why would you bring this man in to teach the pastors?" And my bishop responded, "Marcus Borg has a deeper Christian faith than many of us." I thought, he believes Jesus is dead. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you have to believe Jesus rose from the dead to be saved. Last words. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, last words, you will be saved, meaning your eternity will be with God. The Bible teaches when you die, you will either go to heaven or hell for all eternity. Do you know where you're going for eternity? I saw a Far Side cartoon. It was funny, but it wasn't so funny. There's a line of people going into the door of hell. Standing next to the doorway is Satan smiling, and the sign above the door says, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." Oh, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Let me tell you a Bible verse that changed my life. Maybe it will change yours. I'm 20 years old. I'm leading a Bible study at college. Got maybe eight people in my dorm room, and we're doing Bible study. A wonderful Christian young woman by the name of Pam. "Tom, can I talk to you privately?" I said, "Sure." And after Bible study, we sit down. "Well, Tom, are you sure you're saved?" And I got a little offended. I said, "I think I'm saved." "Tom, are you sure you're saved?" And I said, "Yes." And she left, and I'm sitting there thinking, did I just lie? Because at that point, I don't know that I knew I was saved. But during that time, somebody shared with me the truth of 1 John 5:13. "I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Tom, do you believe in God? I do. So what can, now on, can you know that you've got? Because God won't break this promise. And that's when the light bulb went on. Ever since I'm 20 years old, sinner that I am, I still know that I'm saved because it's all by the grace of God. That changed my life. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? You might need to do this. Turn to 1 John 5:13. You might want to underline it in your Bible, but claim that promise for yourself. Let's put it all together. If salvation is conditional, you need to believe in Christ to be saved. It needs to be personal. If you confess with your lips, you need to be public about your faith that Jesus is Lord. That means he's your master and he's your God. If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in, that means you trust Jesus, not yourself. You're trusting him to catch you. Believe in, if you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord, that means he's your master and he's God. And you believe in your heart, not your head, your heart, that God raised him from the dead. You must believe in the resurrection. You will be saved, meaning you'll spend eternity in the right place. And I close with this. I love the old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure and my hope lie far beyond the blue, where many Christian children have traveled on before. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a Savior there in that great glory land. I don't expect to stop until I take his hand. I know he'll let me in, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? If you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today from a viewer. Can a person decide they want to be saved, or does one need to be called to repentance by the Holy Spirit?
Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, Mona, I believe the reason you're a Christian, the reason I'm a Christian, not because I was smarter than anybody else or whatever, but God gave me his Holy Spirit and created faith in my heart. Mm-hmm. That's what Lutherans believe. That's a lot. I mean, Martin Luther, writing back in the 1500s, writing on the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, Luther. What does this mean? I believe I cannot by my own reason or strength come to my Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. So I think even if you think you decided and you received Christ and that you're the one that did it, it says in the book of Acts, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to mm-hmm. believe in the things said by Paul. So you might have thought you did it, but the Lord did it.
I always pray for my family and friends. Lord, open their heart.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. I believe in the Trinity is a false teaching. It is nowhere in the Bible. Your comments.
I want to encourage people to go to our website, pastorstudy.org, pastorstudy2s.org, and look and hit the button where it says, is the Trinity biblical? It is biblical. Now, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the concept of one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is thoroughly biblical. So just go to that website. The verses that talk about Jesus being the Father is God who created us, the Son, Jesus, is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Jehovah's Witnesses and some other cults don't believe Jesus is God, but John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, all teach that Jesus is God. So although the word is not in the Bible, the concept, you can find the Trinity in the first paragraph of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. There's the Father. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. So you got the Holy Spirit. You got God saying things. And we learn in John chapter 1, the Word is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, all three are eternal. All three are God. One God, three persons. So there you go.
Alrighty. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Can one who is transgender, one who deliberately makes the decision to change their gender, be saved?
Well, there's a wonderful older man who is on the internet. I can't remember his name, but he went through the gender surgery and everything.
Walt Heyer?
Yeah, there you go. And then he realized, this is nuts. And he has gone back to being a man. He always was. You can't change your chromosomes. So there's an example of somebody that went through the transgender surgery, came to the light, came to Christ, and now he's gone back to who God created him to be. So there you go.
Amen.
Yeah.
How do I know if the guilt I am feeling is conviction from the Holy Spirit or if it is condemnation from the devil?
Yeah. Well, there's two things. Jesus did say in the book of John, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. So I think when I sin and I feel conviction, I think that's the Holy Spirit telling me, ask for forgiveness, repent. But once I've done that, ask for forgiveness and God forgive me for Jesus' sake for my sins, if I still feel guilt, I don't think that's the Holy Spirit anymore. It's the devil trying to get me under condemnation. And it says in the book of Revelation that Satan accuses us believers day and night before God's throne, mm-hmm. but we overcome him, the devil, by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, the saving death of Christ. So if you get real tormented by your sins, the way you overcome your guilt, false guilt, I think, if you've confessed it, you just confess it once, Lord, forgive me.
You put it under the blood of the Lamb. God, I believe Jesus paid for the sin, so I'm forgiven. And then you move on. Mm-hmm. And if you still feel guilt, ignore it. Move on. It's not the Holy Spirit anymore. It's the devil trying to get you under condemnation. Mm-hmm. I've said this many times. A sermon I heard when I was 20 really helped me because I can be kind of guilt-ridden. Every time you sin, the pastor said, immediately do three things. Number one, confess it. Confess means to agree with. God, I agree. I sinned. Number two, put it under the blood. God, Jesus paid for the sin, so I trust that you're now forgiving me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess, you forgive. I claim that promise. And then number three, immediately forget about it and move on. You confess it, you put it under the blood, and you move on. Sometimes people still can't get over their guilt. And then you talk to a Christian about it, a pastor or a Christian friend or whatever, because sometimes you need to talk it out. Mm-hmm. But that is my modus operandi.
All right.
There you go.
How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? How can I receive the Holy Spirit?
Well, the Apostle Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. God planted the Holy Spirit in us when we were baptized, when we accepted Christ. God put the Holy Spirit in our hearts, because you can't believe and be a Christian without the Spirit. But so God plants the Spirit, and then fruits come out of the tree. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think you'll find the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Not that you do all that perfectly, but your life is changing. You have some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit going on. If there's no fruit, if you're living in sin and there's no repentance and no trust in Christ and no fruit, then you got to wonder if you've got the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part was?
Does the Holy Spirit ever leave a person?
No, but about how do you get the Holy Spirit?
Oh, how can I receive the Holy Spirit?
Well, in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, repent and be baptized, and mm-hmm. you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Corinthians, Paul says, we were all baptized into the one Spirit. So if you've never been baptized, I'd get water baptized. And then Jesus said in Luke, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe God, the Holy Spirit, comes to us in our baptism, and I think he stays. But you can quench the Spirit. The Bible says you can quench the Spirit. So, Lord, forgive me for quenching you. Fill me today with the Holy Spirit.
But he never leaves.
Well, Jesus, it says in Hebrews, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So those who are trusting in Christ, as long as they're trusting in Christ, he will never leave.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody, that's the show for today. Thanks for watching. There's our website if you want to watch our TV shows for free at any time. God nudges you to support us and keep us on the air. We'd appreciate that at our website, or you'll see an address for sending there. God bless.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.